games with Nashville's hockey team. This is Preds Insiders with Nick Kieser on your home for Smashville, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
Yossi cuts behind him. Forsberg with the shot and looking back.
Yes. And the puck got by him. Predators win it overtime. Philip Forsberg with a sneaky shot there. And the Predators take it after 18 seconds of overtime.
The overtime game winner, as called by the glorious Pete Weber. Pete with the great call, as always, alongside Jay Moore on last night's win against the Philadelphia Flyers. This is Nick Kieser alongside with you for this latest installment of Preds Insiders. A brief update here from our studios, as we've not heard from anybody in about a month here on this program. Just wanted to kind of give you a brief update on what's been going on with these Nashville Predators as they approach a busy weekend. It'll be their third back-to-back. Coming up on Friday, they'll have to travel to Carolina to take on the Hurricanes. The Hurricanes are currently 1 point back of Nashville in the overall standings with 31 points. So a tough team in Carolina is the next opponent for these Predators, who are rolling right now. And then the Predators will come back to Nashville on Saturday evening and take on the Washington Capitals, who also have 31 points and are right there with the Carolina Hurricanes. So it'll be a tough stretch of hockey for the Preds. They've had quite a few really good teams to go up against here lately, and quite frankly, they've handled it very, very well to just the highest standard of hockey that they could possibly play. And as exhausted as they have been truly, truly a difficult team to play. Just the ignorance that comes with their play. They've been someone that can truly test every respectable part of the hockey game. And one person that has done that very effectively for the Nashville Predators in this latest stretch of hockey, I would say in the last 15 games, has been goaltender Juuse Saros. He has been a stud in net. He is what he's been advertised. That's what Andrew Burnett said last night during the postgame press conference in front of me and other reporters that were down there after the overtime game winner. So I'm kind of curious to see what Philip Forsberg looks like as well moving forward, and Juuse Saros. Those are two studs on the team, like I said, that really are the guys that made the biggest difference last night against a really tough John Tortorella-led Flyer squad. So with all that being said, I want to start here because I spoke with one of the Predators defensemen after the game last night. He didn't have too much to do with overtime, but he did contribute an assist in the game. So good to hear from Alex Carrier after the game. And so one thing that I noticed about last night's game against the Philadelphia Flyers was that they kept Nashville at bay for most of the night. And it was kind of a seamless effort for them, not in terms of them making sure that they held Nashville at bay necessarily, but they executed their game plan to a T against the Predators. And that's not something that you really want to have happen. And even Andrew Burnett said that they need to coach better. They need to make sure that Juuse Saros isn't seeing that many shots. That was a bit overwhelming for Juuse. He made a season high 37 saves against a Flyer squad. I would have not had that on my bingo card personally, because the Flyers are not a team that are sought after right now, as in terms of maybe being a playoff team, but they are currently in a playoff spot. They had a couple extra points from overtime or shootout loss this season. They had a couple more points than the Nashville Predators. I believe they stand at 33 or 32 points after that overtime loss in Nashville on the Tuesday evening. So I think just with all that in retrospective, the Predators, they have been gutsy. And we'll hear from Andrew Burnett here in just a little bit. But like I said, let's hear what Alexander Carrier had to say about last night's game and what the Flyers did to make it really difficult to play against them.
Yeah, they were really fast. They worked hard as well. They were stretching us a lot, and then their D would jump into play, and odd man rushes a lot. I think they did a good job like that. We didn't, it wasn't our best, obviously. Good thing we had Juuse in the net to keep us in there, but 2 points is 2 points. They skated hard. We got a 4 games in 6 nights, so we're going to have 2 days in between before Carolina, and we'll take advantage of that and be ready for Friday.
They certainly will be ready, and one thing that really stands out to me, at least from my conversation with Alex, was the thing that he said about how the Flyers were stretching out the D, and that is something that the Predators, they have had to kind of counteract with their new system a lot of the times with teams that want to incorporate their defensemen. It's been kind of interesting to watch how they've adjusted to teams like the Avalanche, who the Predators also beat in regulation. I felt like that one was going to go to overtime earlier this year, but it did not. That was Ryan Johansson's return. But the Predators, they've adjusted, you know, quite well at times against teams that, quite frankly, have much better defenseman threat-wise at times. And so, not to say that Alex Carrier can't be a threat, because he had a phenomenal play, and he had a shot on net that was probably going to go in, and it was Gus Nyquist that tipped it home last night to get the scoring started. So that was a fun look by Alex, and he's a rising defenseman, and I'm working on a project, so stay tuned for that at thegamenashville.com. Just looking at the defenseman as a whole and seeing a couple of cases of guys that have had good seasons to start. I'll have a kind of a report card season look at what they've done here so far and how they're progressing as defensemen, one of them being Alex Carrier. So Nashville, I have to go here as well. They have completely flipped the script on how they started the season as opposed to what it is now. And the vibe in the locker room is completely different now as well. They're a lot happier. They're winning, so of course you'll be happier, right? And I remember going into the locker room not that long ago when it was a dejected Ryan O'Reilly. He was telling us that he was frustrated, he didn't have the answers, and so that was the 5-10 Nashville Predators, where they started the season on a rough stretch, but ultimately, when they went on the road, they learned a lot of lessons, and they came back. And they were a much better team for it around Thanksgiving. And so they may not have been a playoff team around that American holiday. However, lately, they are 11-4-0 in their last 15 games. And so when you improve that much, it's noticeable. And so since November 14th, the Predators are the best team in the NHL with a monstrous 22 points. And so with that in mind, you have to look at what they're successful at in that stretch of hockey. And so they're one of three teams still this season that have not lost an overtime or a shootout. So they're keeping games pretty much in regulation for the most part. They've not really been forced their hand to go to overtime or a shootout and been put in a bad spot. And the one shootout that impressed me the most for the Nashville Predators was when they were facing Toronto and they were on the road. And that was a crazy way to end a game, especially in the hockey mecca of the world. And that worked out well for them. And they got a win that way. So they've been gutting out these wins, and they've been showing time and time again why this is going to work for them, why adding the veterans made the biggest difference for them this offseason. And so that's intriguing to me, at least, that they're one of three teams that have not lost an overtime or a shootout. The other teams this year that have not yet so far are the Ottawa Senators and Anaheim Ducks, two teams that really aren't a whole lot like Nashville right now in terms of where they're at building and what they are. Ottawa, obviously, a lot going on with that franchise, just in terms of changing the front office and everything. And then Anaheim is a rebuilding team. So that's an interesting part to this latest stretch of hockey for me. But UC Saros, let's get into this a little bit. UC Saros is 9-2-0, my goodness, in his last stretch of hockey since November 14th. That is insane. He is boasting a 2.31 goals against average in that time frame and a 9.27 save percentage. And so when you have a goaltender that is keeping teams at bay and he's getting used to these lanes, I think one thing that Andrew Brunette has kind of talked about is UC Saros getting used to maybe how the Predators play in front of him, how the defense is structured in front of him, how he sees the pucks. And so I think in that regard, you have to take a look at the size of what UC Saros is. He has to get used to all the lanes. He has to get used to how pucks are coming off of him in this new system where guys are looking for rebounds. And so that can be a big adjustment for a lot of NHL teams. And so most of those teams are struggling teams. And Andrew Brunette has come in to a team that is ready for this challenge. And UC Saros is a Vezina caliber goaltender for sure. But he's had help in front of him as well, as Philip Forsberg has 16 points in his last 15 games. Wow. Another great stat line for one of these Nashville Predators that has been a stud in the NHL so far this season. He's on pace for plus 90 points right now and on pace for 44 goals roughly if the season was to progress as he has played so far this year, both of which would be career highs for Philip Forsberg if he does reach that mark. And barring injury, he could probably get there. So we'll see what he does. And the Predators overall, they're seventh in the NHL in penalty kill in this latest stretch of hockey as well since November 14th. I'll keep saying it because since that date, the Predators have changed significantly. But the penalty kill could certainly use some adjustments still. They definitely looked okay, I thought, against the Flyers. They were tested. They had plenty of great looks. And at one point in the first period, I noticed this. The Flyers had 7 power play shots. They only had 6 even strength shots. So almost, you know, a half and half of what they were able to put on Nashville to start off the game. And that's not a stat line you want to hear if you're the Predators or even a fan out there listening. You don't want your team to start out that way on special teams. And that was a struggle for them. And so I know that also during this latest stretch since the 14th, the Predators are 14th on the power play. They have 10 power play goals for, and that's great. Philip Forsberg and Roman Josi have 6 points on the power play in that time frame as well. So those are obviously the pillar pieces of the franchise. And so when they are contributing on the power play on special teams, that's great as well. Gus Nyquist and Ryan O'Reilly have done that as well. Colton Sissons hasn't really done too much on the power play, but he's been out there and he's been effective in drawing some guys off, and he's been a great playmaker. He's put a lot of guys in great spots. He may get that third assist that doesn't exist as a secondary assist. So he's kind of out there making plays and keeping things interesting for the Predators on special teams. And so great to start things off there here on this first part of Preds Insiders on a brief update here. And the Predators, like I said, they're going to be going into another back-to-back. It'll be their third this season. But it's been fun to see how they've played. Their brand of hockey has been impressive for sure. And I can't leave without you hearing what Andrew Brunette had to say about last night's performance here on this first part of Preds Insiders on a brief update. But here's what Andrew Brunette had to kind of, you know, not glow on. He wasn't too happy about the game last night. But here's what he had to say after a gutsy win against the Flyers.
Well, that was gutsy. I think coming back from the back-to-back and long travel and the amount of games we had in this period of time, I knew it was going to be a really hard game. They're an extremely hard-working team. And, you know, I think it wasn't our best. But I'm proud of the way that we gutted it out. We hung in there a little bit when things weren't going as good as we'd like them to go. We settled it down when it went 2-2, and I thought we started taking over the game a little bit. So that shows a little maturity with the group. Obviously, you don't want to give up the lead, but we kind of got mad. You know, I was hoping to get mad a little earlier, but we just had enough in the tank, and Juice gave us a chance to win, and Phil does what Phil does.
So there you have it. Andrew Brunette on what the Predators looked like against the Philadelphia Flyers, and we'll take a brief pause, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about what Andrew Brunette has had to say here as of late when talking about his team and just what he has seen overall. So we'll talk about that next here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in the Preds Insiders. Nick Kieser here alongside with you for this brief update on the Nashville Predators here. As of late, they have been a great hot commodity in the NHL. And Andrew Brunette talked a little bit more about what he saw from his team last night. And some things that stood out to me personally was that, yes, the Flyers, they were a hardworking team. And Brunette, pregame, met with the media and even told us that he feels like they were the hardest working team in the NHL coming into that game. And so they certainly felt like it early on, and they may not have started Carter Hart, who has been kind of up and down this season. They started Samuel Ersson in net against the Nashville Predators. He had won four straight before taking on the Predators and then going to overtime. It was a weird goal for him to give up, by the way. Philip Forsberg fired a shot on net. He kind of tried to squeeze his elbow, and the puck just kind of trickled behind him, and it wasn't a great save by him. But I thought up in the press box that he had it and that the referee was going to blow it dead and that we would have a face-off. And so hopefully that wasn't going to turn into an intent to blow, and a lot of Predators fans may be triggered by what I said there for sure, just going back to 2017 there. But hey, it is what it is. But it counted. Philip Forsberg saw the loose puck, and that's why, kids, you don't stop until you get to the net. And if you see the puck, if you feel like it's loose, you play till the whistle. And that's exactly what Forsberg did, and he got, like I said earlier in the first segment, the Nashville Predators now have a new leader in overtime game winners. Philip Forsberg has 10 now in franchise history, so that's what it looked like last night to make a new bar in history. So consistency was another thing that Andrew Brunette talked about as well, and so I know that one player that I've had in mind when thinking about what the consistency level looks like from some of the younger players, it's been guys like Luke Evangelista, Tommy Novak, Juuso Parsonen, and just a couple of guys like that. You know, I think personally for me, a lot of these guys have stepped up this year. You know, Philip Tomasino has been scratched quite a bit this year, and so I think that that just comes with taking your turn and observing the play and, you know, taking a step back and seeing what this game looks like. And, you know, the reset button has been a consistent theme that Andrew has talked about constantly when this, you know, conversation comes up or this question comes up, whether it's from me or from somebody else. But it's been sort of what the Predators have been all about this year is consistency. And one player that I know was frustrated at one time when he got scratched was Juuso Parsonen. When the Predators were on their longest road trip of the season, he missed one of the games toward the end of that road trip. And I thought it was intriguing as to maybe why. And I remember asking Juuso about that. And I remember at the time he told me that he and Andrew kind of sat down and talked about what they liked about his game and maybe what differences that they had. And so they've kind of worked on that. And that's probably what Andrew's done with most of the players is he's been able to kind of have those conversations, whether it's, you know, a sit down and, you know, maybe chatting about that or wherever it is on the road if he meets with any of those players. I'm not really sure what that looks like, but more or less, I think it's important that there is the communication level. And Juuso Parsonen, and I spoke with him, you know, prior to last night's game against the Flyers. And so he kind of talked about what he's been working on. And I think for me, at least, faceoffs have been a struggle for him, and he recognized that as well. And so I turned that around and I asked Brunette after the game what he thought about Juuso, because Juuso played on the fourth line, and that kind of threw me for a loop, quite frankly. He was someone that was all over the lineup. He's really played on every single line this year, and it's been weird to see that that's the role that he's had, because when he got called up from Milwaukee last year, he's been with Nashville a little bit over a year now, just in terms of being a full-time pro. He's been up here for a while, and he played second, third-line minutes and never played really first-line minutes last year, but he was started at wing to start this year, and he played on the fourth line with Michael McCarron, who scored a goal again, by the way. He has four goals on the year. His career record is seven, so he may pass that this year. But he played alongside Cole Smith as well. So that is a domineering line in terms of size and strength, which is a really good sign that the Predators are becoming a more physical team that can beat you with talent and skill as well. Reminded me of that 1980 Miracle team. Just hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard enough. And so you love to see stuff like that. But Juuso told me that he was working on his faceoffs. You know, guys like Ryan O'Reilly and Colton Sissons, they have been good examples for a guy like Juuso. And that's intriguing to me. Just how much will Juuso take away from some of these older guys? And You know, Michael is down the middle as well, and he's been a great guy. And if he continues to score, he's not going to come out of the lineup. And people that are frustrated that Tomasino's not playing right now, look, that's why. I mean, who would have guessed that Michael McCarron would be doing better offensively than Philip Tomasino a few seasons ago? Certainly not me, just in terms of maybe what Tomasino was supposed to be, just what the hopes were a while back. And that's not to say that he couldn't be great here in the next little bit. But look, I think it's intriguing that Andrew Brunette has had a lot of patience with his young guys, as he should. Barry Trotz does as well. But here's what Andrew Brunette had to say to me when I asked about Yusuf Parsonen after the game.
Yeah, he's a work in progress, I think. I think he's shown signs of, again, we talked about this quite a bit, the little bit of consistency. I'd like to see a little bit more out of him. I think there's more there. But if he doesn't have his best game, he's still a reliable two-way player that's big and strong and intelligent. So I think he can find a way to get through games, but I still believe there's more there.
There certainly is a lot more there to see at some point. That was Andrew Brunette post-game after I asked him about Yusuf Parsonen and what he's been able to do since he's been scratched. And so sounds like he's been pretty happy with what Yusuf has done. And so that's a good sign because he's truly been a Swiss Army knife, and it'd be even better if he was from Switzerland, but he's not. He's a Finnish native, and we love our Finns here in Nashville. But look, it's been great to see him step up. He's been a confident player. One thing I notice a lot, and I talked about this with him, was how he's a really good puck protector. In the corners, he is relentless at just using his strength, keeping guys away with one arm and holding the puck with the other hand. And it's been one of the strongest points of his offensive capabilities has been, look, I've got the puck, I can make a play. And so Yusuf has been a strong player at times and fun guy to watch so far this season. I'm just kind of curious where they continue to deploy him moving forward. And, you know, guy is also kind of like a Philip Tomasino. I just talked about him. Where does he plug in long-term as well? Does somebody come out? I have no idea. But one thing that just piques my interest in terms of that is when Barry Trotz was on Stillman & Company yesterday, Tuesday at 5, you can hear him there every single week. So that's must listen to radio if you're a Predators fan, by the way. So check that out every Tuesday at 5, Barry Trotz. I think it's intriguing that he did bring up how, have there been any conversations with guys' agents that are due contracts coming up this offseason? And Barry Trotz did say, I don't have the clip for you, but he did say on the program yesterday that he's had preliminary conversations with some of these guys. And my guess would be you've got guys like, you know, a Yusuf Parsonen that will need a deal. You also have a Tommy Novak who's not a younger guy. I mean, kind of. I don't include him in that category, but he's due a new deal soon. And Kiefer Sherwood is also bound to have a new deal. And Yakov Trenin, he's another guy as well. And so I'm also kind of curious where Dante Fabro and Alexander Carrier end up, just in terms of maybe getting a new deal or where they may go if they don't reach a deal. So some of these guys can go to arbitration, some cannot. So that'll be interesting to see what happens. But that piqued my interest just in terms of thinking about, okay, long-term wise in the lineup, you got Tomasino, and you know he's a guy that will have a opportunity to figure out where he wants to go next or what he wants to do moving forward. So we'll see what happens. Nothing's guaranteed, obviously. But I think another thing that I'm interested in is Tyson Barrie. Where is he going to go? And there's not much I really know about this other than what Barry Trotz said on Stillman & Company 2 weeks ago. And he kind of talked about how he was frustrated with how it was handled. You know, his agent Barry and Barry Trotz, they all kind of talked about, hey, we're not happy with what's going on right now. He's not going to play. And it was oddly funny enough that before the game even was played against the Rangers, Elliot Friedman, friend of Caroline Willie and D Mason, 102.5 The Game, he comes on the program every Thursday, by the way, at 1. He kind of broke the news that was going to happen. And I was out to lunch with my fiance and I saw that and I was like, whoa, interesting. I'm kind of piqued that he is frustrated right now. And I don't know why he would be frustrated. Like, he hasn't played great, but the ball has been in his court the entire time. Tyson is a consummate pro. He's such a nice human being. He's beloved by so many guys. in the NHL. He shared a lot of great stories on Smashville Live a few weeks ago as well, right before that news came out, oddly enough. But I don't know what teams could really even take him on. That's going to be an interesting thing to kind of hold over the top of just your head right now, just in terms of thinking of what might happen with some of these guys moving forward. You know, Tyson Barrie was scratched for the fourth time of the season when the Predators played the Flyers. So how many more times will he be scratched? I don't know. How many more before he's traded? No idea. And so Barry Trotz really just wants to see him play better. So does Andrew Burnett. All that meeting was about was for him to play better. And so I'm not really sure what might happen in that regard. But hey, time will tell. There's no idea what that might look like. But Barry Trotz did say that there's only about 3 to 4 teams, and he cited cap friendly, which is what all of us use that want to know details on contracts. He's like, look, there's only like 3 to 4 teams that can really take on Tyson. And so we have to do what's best for our franchise. We don't want to hurt us. That's what Barry Trotz said. And I think that's a great idea. I mean, look what the Nashville Predators got in return for Matthias Ekholm. You know, they did get Tyson Barrie back in that deal. They also traded Tanner Janot around that same time and got a lot of draft picks. And I'm not saying that Tyson Barrie is worth a bunch of draft picks, because that may not be the case. You know, he could be worth a different depth player. He could also be worth a couple of draft picks. I guess we'll have to find out. But the Nashville Predators, like I said, coming up, they will have their third back-to-back this season. After starting the season off 5-10, they're now, like I said, 11-4-0 in their last 15 games. You cannot forget that. They've been playing great as of late, and UC Saros is 9-2-0 in that stretch as well. Forsberg has 16 points in his last 15 games. And look, it's an encouraging group right now, and that's all that you can be right now. But we'll see how they continue to do as they have the Carolina Hurricanes away on Friday. Then they'll come back to Nashville and take on the Washington Capitals on Saturday evening. So both of those teams that the Predators are facing have been relatively good this season. They've kind of struggled as of late, but we'll see what they do. But until next time, this is Nick Kieser from Preds Insiders. You've been listening to 102.5 and 106.3 Game.